You're listening to the all-new, all-different Guy-Fi, episode 72. Now, previously on Guy-Fi, we were in part one of Gaze of Future Past, with a lot of hay fever and coughing in the episode. I have had a nightmare trying to manage editing on GarageBand. They've had a lot of problems. This is why I've had to split the episode into two parts. So I edited the episode four times, so it's driven me a little crazy. So you're basically getting it in its raw format. I apologise for the coughing, the hay fever sneezing, and that's a little bit late because this episode was meant to come up before the Christmas episode of Doctor Who. But here we are. Hold on to your hats and let the conversation continue with me and the boys, and let's do the Time Lord again. So this is the thing. He has this way of having a second episode that just doesn't work. And he broke that cycle finally. What was it in the other one? Was it
the Daleks are a great subject matter to revisit. Because they're...
But what I love the most about Moffat, like after the way that... You know what? In Russell C. Davies' time, Daleks were lemmings. It was like, oh, if in doubt, let's pull out the CGI and get the Daleks out. And it was just like, oh my God, so many. And it took away the fear. Yeah. It took away the fear that we had about these characters. And Moffat has worked really hard. And admittedly, his first reintroduction of a new generation of Daleks didn't get the response that he wanted. Yeah. And then there were the pigs in New York. Once again, it's an interesting trope that he played with, but didn't get
that
the response.
That was Moffat, though, was it?
That was Davies. I'm going backwards. But his use of Daleks. So he's used them in a much more creative way.
I think it was more.
I like that one.
The Daleks are also a really good way of seeing aspects of the new Doctor. They were the first time that we see Capaldi dealing with the Daleks.
Absolutely.
And so you see that automatic kind of visceral. You've got to kill these creatures, which is actually really familiar that we like
that's
to see.
Exactly, and that's what exactly
we want to see him going, what have you got this creature for? This person that has up until that point actually been a stranger to us as the Doctor, act like the Doctor, which is kill this machine.
Yeah, and that's great. Really good.
The only thing I did think it was a more interesting use of them for a change. I was pleased with that. I just did find a bit at the end, it was all a bit... just the share.
We've seen the Daleks before.
But that's, hang on, that's Moffat. Moffat does one of two things at the end of every episode. Wipes the slate or sends them off happily ever after. It's the way he does everything. He even gets us, like, I don't mean the emotional touchstones that he plays with, but he either, in relation to the character arc or the evil villain, he literally gets rid or sends them off into something else.
The other second episode was The Rings of Akaton. Or whatever.
Oh, see what I mean?
I didn't mind that one.
The opera.
The next one is Robot of Sherwood.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, yes.
I liked it.
All right, hang on. So let's give it a cock rating first.
Smelly little penis with smeg everywhere.
Dean, zip up. Oh,
God, that's a detail.
How dare you? I have a large Italian uncut penis. Thank you very much.
It's my least favourite of the season.
Joel?
No.
I wasn't expecting much from it to start with. It's all the preview from it.
You
look at the picture and you're like...
What about you, Peter?
French tickler.
A French tickler.
A bit of fun and a bit of a giggle. I enjoyed it. It was nonsense, but it was fun.
It felt like Robin Hood Men in Tights. Well, no.
Well, if I'm giving it a cock rating, this is one of those hookups where a guy really takes a shot of his cock from a certain angle. You're like, okay, that's not even, like, there's nothing I can do with that. So we're going to have to be more creative. You still enjoy yourself, but it's not the punch you need. It is the weakest episode for me of the season.
No.
There's an obvious one that's weaker than that, but I'll say nothing yet.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. It is the weakest episode for me of the season, but for me, it had a camp classic feel to it. I feel like it was a little bit laboured. I was easily distracted during this episode. Do you know what I mean?
This was Capaldi stretching his feet in like a dark episode, like Into the Dalek, and then trying something out
like
that.
I think this is okay. Moffat has a very, well, all of them, the way they do it. When you are going to do a really dark episode, you have to have a really light episode the episode before.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
And Listen, which is we'll talk about in a moment, was definitely a very dark, intense turn in relation to it. But you whenever they do something like that, you stop shaking your head. Whenever they do something like that, they also do go really light the episode before to not distract you, but to also not let you feel like, this is all you get. Look, we have a range. And that's what they did with the fucking
divine bus one.
I think it was just a nice romp.
But admittedly, you know what? Having the Doctor find Robin Hood with a spoon, how much fun was that?
That was good. I loved it, actually.
But it was too really much. It was the first time where we went, oh my God, they are literally, like Clara just has to try and ground this character somehow because they've literally given her no grounding. Oh my God, I want to see Robin Hood.
I'm like a valley girl in Sherwood.
Yeah,
like,
but you could argue though in that episode as well, though, it also underlines this starting the message of she's in control and she might have to be in control at times. Because he gets caught up in the whole trivialities of things.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I actually enjoyed it.
I think it was a fun little romp.
They're fighting, the fighting between Robin Hood and the Doctor when they were in the... when they were locked up together, that was great.
It was a great
good comic moment. This is the only part of that. Only part of that episode that I enjoyed.
Someone did say to me the other day, "How much more fun though would that sort of argument have been if it had been Missy and the Doctor tied it?"
That would have been divine.
Do you know, like, but it did have certain elements to it. Like, oh my God, the Marion thing was fucking annoying, and then
Marion.
Yeah, exactly. But I love the idea of taking the, like, for me that is very. That is very 80s Who of taking this.
I'd say it's very Russell Davies.
It is Russell Davies. But taking this classic storyline that we have in our lives and giving it a really full on sci-fi twist and literally making it like it was a camp villain. It was totes camp.
If Russell Davies had done that episode, it would not have felt out of place in any episode.
They grounded it by having the Doctor going, what the hell is this? You know, this shouldn't be here. This, you know.
Yeah.
He was the guy going in the audience saying, Robin Hood isn't real. Why the hell are we here? You know?
Yeah.
And I want to take the time to talk about what the fuck Clara was wearing because it was gross and it was
This is one of the ones where it was just like, I think they missed the mark with Clara, that she was just a bit too OTT. The styling, we have been watching Project Runway, and the styling and costume choice was just silly. And the point was to, I feel like I was watching that episode with, for those that remember the old Doctor Who, where Sylvester McCoy and Ace go back in time to where Ace was a kid, and she's suddenly dressed like a girl, and you literally are like, why is she dressed? I don't understand. Yeah, like, this doesn't make sense to me.
When she was dressed like a girl, but, like, well,
but you're like, it doesn't make sense to me that she looks this way, because that's not her character. I felt like I needed that from Clara. I needed Clara to be different too. And also, why did Clara suddenly get hair extensions to match her outfit and the time period she's in? Her hair was short the rest of the fucking season.
It was a food machine.
But not in that outfit. It's like suddenly, I whip my hair back and forth. Not okay with it. So I think it just didn't hit the spot. Worst episode of the season for me. And now we dive into episode number 4. Listen.
Can we go through the synopsis of that again?
Really?
Yeah, I have seen it. But
it's the one where...
So when Listen starts, it's like the Doctor realises that we're not alone. There's always someone around us and
constant companion.
Fuck, that was creepy.
And wasn't this a brilliant episode?
But it delivered nothing. It was creepy. The lump into the sheet, very exciting.
You're like, what the hell is that?
Going somewhere, and you're thinking, how's this going to impact on Danny in the future?
Yeah.
You meet Danny's and her child in the future, all these things. But then the interview is like, well, the implication at the end is there is nothing under the bed. But what was under the sheet then?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
At the end, it goes back to Gallifrey, which annoyed the shit out of me anyway. And she gives him the little toy soldier and says the words that he said to her early in the episode. Yeah. So the Doctor didn't remember any of that happening. And also, when he see the toy soldier,
how can you go back to Gallifrey if it's gone?
Well, hang on. When you've lived 900 years, you might not remember one thing from your childhood. What?
No, I was just
I had forgotten about the bed thing, and now I do go, because I thought at some point we were going to have that explained, and there's no explanation.
That's why I got frustrated.
There was a fucking ghost in a bed, or something in a bed, like, but I
Danny's lump under the sheets.
That was
wasn't to imply, like, you know, terrifying. That the Doctor was right all along, you know, he said, oh, maybe we don't have a constant companion, but...
Well, that was what he was implying. But then at the end, it kind of implies at the end, though, that maybe he's just made it up.
That makes it creepier.
But you know what? Yeah, it does. But the whole point episode was finding out what was there. And I liked the explanation that it was actually...
trapped wind.
Clara did that to him. And it's something that psychically we all feel on some level.
See, that's why it bothered me.
That's fine. I felt like the episode was too discordant halves. And they both were really good. in the sense of trying to explain what that thing was, but then jam them together and it felt like,
I mean, now
like Mulholland Drive.
And I can do about the and I can do about them having to try and crowbar continuity together, so it happens to be the same shed that happens to be the shed in the day of the Doctor.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what?
And yeah, it's all those things. Just like, just have another shed.
Hang on a minute. Do you know what? I loved that stuff. It breaks my heart a little bit because I can't disagree with what you're saying. You're completely right. Like, why does everyone in the world at some point in time have this moment that actually literally happened in the Doctor's life? Why is that something that happens? What was under the bed? They're the only two things, I think. It's a shame that we'll never get those answers, or maybe we will.
I liked it. I just don't think it delivered on its promise. It was kind of the pitch again. The pitch was great. The resolution, actually, the result wasn't that brilliant.
Yeah.
I was really happy with it. Fuck you. And now we have Oceans... No, not Oceans 13. It's Time Heist. The Time Heist episode. I loved it. Time Heist. Did you not like it, Joel?
I loved it.
We watched it multiple times.
Of course, Steve. I think you could take this episode, have someone who's never actually seen Doctor Who, put him in front of it and go, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah,
I agree.
I fucking loved it. Yep. It's so self-contained.
And they have that cute...
It's so great.
That
so
cute
fun.
Cyborg boy.
They are both, know, right? They are both such good characters, those two.
No, go for the shape changer. Much more variety. She might be a plone by nature, but she can be anyone.
Chang.
This was great. The look was fantastic. The style, the energy, the villain. I thought it was wonderful.
I found it interesting. Someone did point out to me, though, that Moffat sort of revisiting the same well a few times, because the one that was season before, was it called Hyde? The one where it's two aliens who have been split up and he gets killed by the end.
Hang on.
But in a different sense. Oh, no.
There's no way in hell you can say that. That's like turning around and saying, oh, well, you know, because he's a guy with a TARDIS that travels through time every episode.
No, but it's, you know, you've got something you see as a monster, but it actually isn't a monster, and it's actually the goodie, and they all get together.
But we never thought that guy was the baddie. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're the last of their kind. They go off and get to have this whole thing, and really, that's going to be very incestuous. But it wasn't about, like, it was just, you know what? He's a victim in all of this, too.
But I mean, that's what the Doctor does. I mean, he's done that many times. He's saved.
Could you not put your phone on silent?
Where he saves a race, and where he saves, and he finds people who are, or races that have been pushed to their limits, and gives them salvation. I mean, he does it all the time.
This entire
the only time where he hasn't done it is where he killed those spider creatures, and Donna was like, "Well, you're crazy."
Yeah. But that was fun. Yeah. Oh, the first appearance of Donna in the bride.
Runaway Bride.
Spider-Lady. But yeah, no, it was a fun episode. I did like it overall.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Going to these entire lengths just to save two. What are they called? Tellers? The teller.
But it was
so much. They're in a bank.
Also,
there's a teller.
Caved heads.
Yeah, the caved head was great.
That was really...
It was very kind of torture porn in a way.
That I didn't understand is melting the brain doesn't explain what happens to the skull.
Yeah. The skull doesn't
exactly... I've seen a picture of something like that on the internet.
Really?
Yeah. Sort of a hollow head. It was very bizarre.
Okay, let's move on. So now we jump into the next episode, which is The Caretaker. This is when the Doctor comes to visit Clara at the school.
This episode.
I loved it.
It was great. I loved it. I
showed
how much
you
hated Danny.
Totally. Like, looking at the life of Clara instead of the Doctor. I loved. Look, and this was a huge throwback to the actual original Doctor when we've got, you know, the very first episode where the adventure of the Doctor is with a former soldier, a school teacher, a young girl, and the Doctor, and it turns out the young girl happens to be going to school at the same school that Clara teaches at.
Yeah.
And the junkyard where the alien is found is the one where the TARDIS originally was.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge throwback to classic Who. Hmm. But take that aside, what a fun villain. Like, these are the kind of the robot designs, the looks and designs that I love the shit out of.
I thought the villain was crapful.
What are you talking
about?
It
looked like it had been made for Robot Wars about 20 years
ago. That's what I loved about it.
It looked like it was actually written by a bloke who used to write a lot of the Sarah Jane Adventures, and it very much felt like a Sarah Jane Adventure story.
I enjoyed that. Drugs. Do you know what I mean? I actually enjoyed it. It was nice to have this villain be this bloody clunky robot.
The villain was irrelevant.
It really was
the villain. The villain ultimately was irrelevant because it wasn't the point and it wasn't the tone. No. But also seeing Capaldi interact with people in the school,
those
interact
were
with
fun.
Kids. It was comedy gold. It was really strong.
Yeah. And it kind of threw on that Asperger's social
totally,
awkwardness.
Totally.
Like, I don't
he kind of made
the bits where he went on the sign or whatever and things like that. I loved Capaldi in it. I thought he was great. I didn't mind it overall, but yeah, the monster.
But also what it said about Clara and Danny particularly, like it was good and it was strong and it made me happy.
It's funny how all of the companions have had boyfriends. The boyfriends have always been long-suffering kind of saps. Like,
yeah.
Rory showed some backbone at some point, but he was always like...
Rory was the never... Yeah, he'd be the gladiator, and we'd be reminded at one point, but he'd go back to being a wimp.
Yeah, look. And Danny was just like, poor me.
But the thing is, I think if Danny had actually come in the TARDIS, that would have been nice. One episode of... Shut
come
up.
In the TARDIS.
Come in the Doctor's box.
Outrageous.
There's plenty of room.
It's bigger on the inside. We would have gotten... it would have been nice to have one adventure of Danny actually go with them
he
on
didn't
it.
Actually have any, did he?
No.
No.
And, just, and they made out... Like, they did make out like that was going to be the case.
The scary thing is I wouldn't write off him not coming back.
Really? Do you have an inside source?
No, no. Just knowing Moffat.
If he's coming back, so is Clara.
Oh, yeah, well, obviously.
Okay, so... But, that would be a shame. So, we've had the caretaker, and now we jump into the abortion episode.
Oh, yes,
Kill
the
Moon.
Abortion episode.
Now, I don't say abortion episode in the sense that it was bad, but it was literally a definition, not that abortion is right or wrong, and I would never want to make a judgment on anyone's choices, but it was literally an episode that explored the... what? I feel like that provided...
No.
It should have been called Abort the Moon. I like it.
I feel like it was a very, very literal look at that.
Not so much that, but more as
I loved
choice.
It. Oh, that's one of my favourite episodes.
I'm way mega thumbs up.
So
with
the spider things meant to be crabs?
Well, this is my fundamental problem is as a person who's done biology, I was sitting there going, waving my hands in anger when they described what the spiders were. They're not microbes, they are spiders. They
spider
are all
things.
Of the characteristics of spiders.
You
they're
need
not
to have
bacteria.
A monster. Think of a better explanation.
But I was just like, whatever, I've seen
them,
worse.
In the immortal words of Taylor Swift, just shake it off.
My favourite thing about that, and this is where I wanted to slap Clara, was she was all whingy about, you made us choose. Oh, big, tough titties.
But I
you have to make a choice.
But this is why I liked it. This is why it was brilliant. Like the fact that we... And this is why I love some of the stuff Moffat does. You know what? The Earth made a decision, and then she chose to do... It definitely...
That was
gold. I mean, the word abort was a bit ridiculous. And also,
abort,
oh my God,
there.
Look, there's a moon. Everyone relax. But also, it was just... The fact that they literally have this kind of element to play with, and it was nice to have it go, suck shit, bitch. That's you're not the happy-go-lucky.
That's
oh,
what
anyway.
An adult is.
Exactly, and that's why I like it. Having the child along, like what an irresponsible thing for Clara to do, and then for her to be annoyed with the Doctor.
Yeah.
Like, I think the elements of it are great.
I suppose from what we were talking about before, in terms of the arc of the season and Clara taking more control and whatever else, and you've seen her doing it in the early ones this season, at this point she's not... It is like he says, he's taking the safety wheels off. You can't pretend you're in control but still divorce yourself from the responsibility of that decision.
That speech that she says at the end, it's basically her slapping and saying, you're fucking older than me, you need to
I don't think he's necessarily done the best. For me, I'm with you, Xavier, in terms of I love science fiction.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy to divorce myself and suspend myself suspend my disbelief. However, if you're going to have sci-fi, it's got to be sort of internally consistent and logical.
You've got to have a bit more
the
soul.
Spiders annoyed me because
so
they kind of made
bacteria.
No sense.
Okay.
And the fact that the thing that's just been born lays another moon the same size at the instant it's born when no one's looking. Just turn around and, oh, blimey, look at that.
If it had just been smaller, even, and a different, like, smaller, and it's like, it'll
with
grow.
With bits on it.
You know, like,
the world's still, like, you know, destroyed from all the rising oceans and everything.
Well, I thought it was actually very sweet in the sense that we can't tell if it's going to be friend or foe, but we have an obligation.
But exactly.
I really
like,
enjoyed
this is,
that.
I love that element of it, and even just on any kind of level going, do you know what, like, has anyone here watched Interstellar?
Yes.
Not yet, so don't talk about it. I'm
all right, we'll have another.
I need to see it soon.
I have to go see it.
All right, well, after you two have seen it, we'll have another podcast, and this time we'll have alcohol.
Okay.
But it was, now jumping back to Doctor Who, it was great to have the moral choice like that with the Earth going, you know what, we're fucked, and we're in this position where we're going to die, so we have to make a choice. And a choice is made, and no one's happy. Like
I think this is where
it's nice to have those elements played out on this kind of a show.
I 100% agree. I like a moral choice. I like those sort of conflicts being put to the audience. However, I think a 40-minute format doesn't give you the justice it needs to deliver.
Like,
that
there's
message.
No way in. Like, I feel like this is one of the few. Actually, this episode should have definitely been a two-parter. You could have had the Doctor leaving the Clara at the end of the first episode, And the second one is all about the moral choice.
But I,
you struggle to fill two episodes.
I enjoyed that because
I disagree. I think that they would make more to it. But yeah, I don't think it would struggle.
I liked that they kind of veered off from there. There's been a constant theme that, you know, humans make the right choice and they're worth saving, blah, blah, blah. And I liked that they veered off and humans were just like, nah, kill it.
Yeah.
I thought the woman playing the space captain was great.
Yeah, agreed. She was really good. She's always good too. I've loved her ever since Cold Feet. Now we dive into Mummy on the Orient Express. Yes.
My favourite.
I love the opening.
Not my favourite season, but it's my first big favourite. I think this is where the season begins.
Start the clock. 66 seconds. And it's a tick, tick, and then this thing. Yeah.
And there were bits in that you sort of go, well, they don't quite hang together, but I didn't care. I just enjoyed it as an episode.
It was great.
It's a train in space.
The bit that annoyed me the most was there's a couple of bits when he's doing the big speech. You know, when it's been revealed they're in a lab, they're not in a dining car or whatever. And he got all the other scientists milling around. And he does a few questions to the room about, so what is it? What could it? And they all just stand there because they're non-speaking extras and not allowed to say anything. I'm just going, just don't put those lines in because it really makes it clear that these are all the non-speaking extras.
But it was even nice to have the Doctor and Clara on one last adventure. All of these different things. It was great.
Frank Skinner was great.
You know,
loved Frank Skinner.
I thought it was a great episode.
I loved that he said I would have let all of them die to find out who it was.
Because
and that kind of shows again that he's a utilitarian.
And this is my point. Like, this is who the Doctor always has been, but we haven't gotten to really explore that as much.
Well, it takes back to Sylvester McCoy's Doctor, who was very much the master manipulator.
Yeah, totally.
He knew what was going on. He'd been invited on this ship so many times. I also find it, I'd like to see Moffat do something with who? Is it Gus? The name of the ship? Computer on the ship?
Yeah.
Who is it? Because we never got that answered. I'd like to see that come back.
Absolutely.
I hope he doesn't just drop it and do nothing with it.
Because he said he'd be looking to investigate it for a while, wouldn't he? Yeah. And
but you know, I really liked it. I thought it was a really fun episode. That was
happy
good.
Thumbs up for
actually,
one.
No, this isn't my favourite episode. The next one is.
Oh, so it's called Flatline. And now I actually, can I tell you, when I'm like, Flatline, what one? And he goes, you know, the ones with the graffiti. And I'm like, oh my God, the Banksy episode. Because it's totally. I thought this was a fantastic one as well. See, can I just say, we already have more highs than lows.
Absolutely. I think this period, this little spell of the season, I think was very...
The Banksy episode was brilliant, where Clara's like, I'm the Doctor now. The fact that we get to play with the silly notion that, like, even just from playing with the idea of a tiny TARDIS is so much fun.
How creepy were they?
The
guy is standing stock still and you turn around and he's...
I think this was the best directed episode of the season because they knew not to linger. They lit it well so you didn't have too much light on them. They didn't linger on them too long. The bits just looked great.
And they were, to me, they were as creepy as the Weeping Angels.
Absolutely.
And also the creatures in the library.
Absolutely.
That kind of unknown. Oh, I just loved
it. It was great.
One thing, I know this is pretty irrelevant or whatever, but remember when we watched it, Hit for Six, that guy who didn't react to the psychic paper at all?
Yeah, that I felt like there was, and this is the...
You have to have an imagination.
Even at the end,
it's pretty much because, look, it was about, you know, this whole thing was about artists, and he was obviously this grumpy old guru, you know, so he didn't have an imagination.
No.
It was like, wow. You know?
It would have made me laugh, though, if someone's graffiti comes to life and it was just a great big cock.
Of course.
Wobbling along the road, looking less scary.
They're all coming after.
This was also one of those great episodes that really explored the Doctor and Clara in a really solid way.
Yeah.
And even the fact that Clara is becoming a liar to the important person in her life. You know, it's great.
And that she's capable of doing...
And lying to the people
she's trying
to save.
Because earlier in the season, it was all a lot more black and white. Like, good, bad, you know, right, wrong. And I love that we just keep pushing ourselves into grey.
It's another interesting one for the moral decision at the end. I don't think it probably got as much focus as it needed, or it went too quickly, which we get at the end of the season, is the Doctor going, I still haven't been able to communicate with you. I still don't know what you want. But basically, everything you've done suggests you're basically a bunch of arseholes, so I am going to kill you. Because that's all I can do in this situation.
And if you survive on the way back, just tell them not to come
home. Yeah, he said, I've tried communicating with you.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It was a moral decision, but his hand was forced, if you like.
It was also nice to have Clara be in a situation that her skills are actually worthwhile. You know what I mean? Like, it was good, and it showed her being crafty. It was very solid. Mm. And I do love the thing, Tardis moment.
I love Tardis on the track.
I mean, and the fact that, you know, I reckon they had so much fun writing this episode.
Yeah, and you know, again, the villains were that kind of real, like, almost zombies, really, which is what really creepy.
And I think it shows what you can do in a 40-minute format. Yeah. It was a very well self-contained story.
This is the season where they do a lot with it really well in the 40 minutes. Now we have the episode which I would go to the second
worst.
I think Sherwood is still worse than this episode.
Any episode with the forest seems not to be doing very well.
Okay, so we have in the forest of
the doctor has wood, which is
essentially that the earth gets a stiffy to protect itself from the sun.
Another great example, sci-fi, science not making any sense whatsoever.
This. I love this.
The girl was great. But I also have an issue. Moffat seems to do this when he introduces elements to a story, like in The Beast Below and The Girl in the Screen and everything, where he just needs to connect that dot a little bit more. Even having it, for no reason whatsoever, reveal her sister at the end, it was just...
That was the worst part of the episode.
Why? So wanky. Why would the bushes have waited for that opportune moment to evaporate?
They were dramatic bushes.
They were
gay bushes. They know the importance.
They were like, it's all about timing. It's all about timing.
The thing that annoyed me more was...
Their parents already gotten rid of all this stuff.
When they've got the wolves and the tiger in it, and it's like he makes the statement about, oh well, you know, she can't want to know wolves in London. He goes, well, there's the zoo, and you know, cages that have been ripped down and ripped open. It's like, well, every other building seems fine. Everything else has really been damaged.
And also, and the flashlight in the face. I think the tiger wouldn't have just gone, oh, I'm so out of here.
They need to go for the nice lady with little red I like the element that this kind of happens. And you know, it's for a reason, and it was just too. I think they had an idea that just they could not get out.
Where was everyone else? Like, the only person on the streets apart from them was Flappy Hands.
But also having the kind of idea that, you know what, within this scenario, you have all these kids. Like, too much. It should have totally been a fairy tale.
They should have had the school trip transported somewhere for some reason.
But it should have. Because those were the elements that they built it on and played on.
They said that the forest was, you know, would regress back into like fairy tales that we'd think about. Yeah, like Dean said, you know, they didn't play on the fairy tale more of it. They said, okay, we all think of
even
the dark
fairies were there.
Yeah. We all think of the dark forest.
Yeah. The other thing that bothered me is they put the investment into the other young girl who was in Kill the Moon. It was a bit like the season before when they had Clara babysitting those kids in the Cyberman story, and then at Christmas she's not got anything to do with them anymore and she's living with her family. The family come for Christmas dinner. This isn't they've put this effort into working on here, and I quite like that young girl. I thought she was a decent character. And then now you've got a whole different class of kids.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
And that little ginger,
they were trying to explore too many things, and it was just a bit of a misfire. This is like a premature ejaculation. You should have spent a bit more time on the foreplay and worked the shaft.
I think they were just trying to do too many things at once. Yeah. And
had a bit of vision, accountability, and boundaries on how you flop that out.
Completely.
It was the pitch and nothing else. It was a decent profile when it turns up, you're like, oh, yeah.
Lighting your pictures.
This is an episode that definitely is in line with that explanation that you're saying, where the pitch happens and then there you go.
Yeah.
Now we lead towards the season finale with Dark Water. The revelation that Missy is actually the master, the death of Danny Pink, and Clara inappropriately wasting paper and using a lot of post-it notes.
Shit, I missed this episode.
I did love that whole opening scene, but every time when Clara's on the phone to Danny, like the minute he's there and a car goes past, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to get hit by a car. I think I said that when
It was really obvious it was coming.
We didn't hear anything.
I was like, it's so obvious. But also, all I keep thinking at the start is Clara's such a waste of post-its. Post-its are expensive.
Do you know, like,
she stole them from school.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, exactly. It's a school teacher. It is a school teacher thing. But I thought it was great. I thought... actually, I'm going to let other people talk. Yeah. I've talked a lot.
My biggest disappointment... I love the episode. My biggest disappointment was the next time at the end of the Forest of the Night, which is the other thing that I want about Forest of the Night is it's the second line of one of my favourite poems, which does not deserve to be associated with that poem. but at the end of that one, it showed us the Cybermen. And if they just actually got done what they did at the end of Dark Water and had no next time, and just went into it, the reveal that the eye is the door, the symbol of 3W.
Because they had the skeletons in the water, they said, are they covered by some kind of...
I'd love that surprise to have come out. Do you know what? I understand. I don't disagree. But I think they made a smart choice. Because then the whole point was that no one was looking when Missy was revealed as the master.
That's a true.
And no, it was like, just okay, we know no one was Cybermen. Looking. No one was, because we were all concentrating on something else. And that,
My counter argument would be though, if you didn't know it was the Cybermen, it would have carried on, and you start seeing it Cybermen, you're going fuck Cybermen, and then you get Missy Cybermen. On top of that. You're going, well, fuck that as well, shit.
But you've got to remember the next times are made after they've finished making the episodes. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. I think on they some kind of level,
I usually stop before the next time in the episode. Mm. I just stop at the.
The credit, the
yeah,
start
I
the
usually
credits.
Don't go into it. No, I thought it was good, and I picked the mistress.
I picked the mistress
because I was you had already seen it, and I was like, oh, yeah. I picture she's the master, and it was great. I just thought,
but it was brilliant. Like dealing with the concept of death and uploading the brains and all of this different stuff, I thought it was really good.
I wasted on a character like Jenny.
We got to meet this this fun camp interface.
I thought it was very daring of them for both this and the final episode to go into the whole afterlife thing. They constantly keep on saying there is nothing where else. It was quite a bold move in many ways, and didn't really come back to that at all, which I just thought was interesting that they went that way.
Okay, so this is something that, well, actually I'll wait. Okay, we're going. I thought it was great. I thought it explored well, even having Clara hang up the phone on him because he won't say, and he's making this choice and we know it's true. Like, it really, the elements of COVID was brilliant.
Chris Addison was very good as well. Chris Addison, he's in the thick of it with Peter Capaldi as well. Plays the AI assistant.
The camp guy. Yeah. He was great. Yeah.
He's really great. I like him a lot anyway.
Like, even, so was Missy, when we're introduced to her finally, and she's just fucking nutcase.
She's deranged, which is brilliant.
That's amazing.
You know what as well? Like, you know what, suddenly when the doctor leaves and they're in St. Paul, and you're like, oh, St. Paul's Cathedral, and you're like, holy shit, and it's a throwback to
the invasion.
Yeah.
The Cybermen invasion. But also, if you look at the way the stuff happens with the interface and stuff happens with that the actual doctor that gets killed, like, we feel like this is all connected,
Dr. Chang.
But Dr. Chang, that's right.
Oh,
but
it's Dr. not Chang. I know, Dr. my Chang. God, we Dr. Chang should do that.
But you know what? Like, it's very, they actually do it in such a way where they show you what's not real, but you won't allow to see it.
Yeah.
They actually put differences right in front of your face and they don't allow you to see it.
Sorry, what do you mean?
Like you feel like you're in the same building. Like, you feel like Danny's trapped in that building or something. It's very...
It's a bit the Silence of the Lambs thing.
Yeah.
They're about to knock on the door and you think they're about to burst and get him. It's actually a totally different house.
And that stays the way through and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, they actually set the TARDIS.
There was a real hint there when he saw the hard drive. He said, that's from Gallifrey.
Yeah.
And you could instantly know that there's something far bigger here afoot than Cybermen.
Yeah, and I think it was brilliant. The reveal, Missy, it was great. There was nothing that wasn't good about this. And now we dive into...
I'm going to say it.
Yeah, you want to say it? Go on.
Do it.
No, it's gone.
Aww, it's gone. Okay, well, now we dive into the final episode that we watched it a couple of days ago. Death in Heaven.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I really... liked it. I know there are things that people are going to have a problem with, and I know people always have a problem with the way that Moffat does two-parters, because he always feels like the second story should have a very tonal shift to the first one. So he never jumps, even if he picks up straight where it's from a really different angle.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the unitness of it all. Unit
appearing.
I think
that was good.
I
liked it. Nowhere.
But you know what?
They killed that girl, though.
Oh. I know, and she's in her bow tie, and we loved her.
The thing that annoyed me more about Osgood dying was, I thought it was a brave move, and I'll give them respect for it, because it did actually have an impact on him as the audience. Because it's someone you like.
Lee Zachariah has been writing great.
And I felt like you weren't expecting her to die. Like,
you thought she was going to be saved.
My only thing undercut for me was when Fingerbit gets blown out the plane.
Well, hang on. Okay. So let me hang on.
It undercuts that impact.
Lee Zachariah has been writing great recaps on junkie.com of every Doctor Who episode. And those that know Lee know he's a great podcaster, writer. He's been involved with the Splendid Chaps podcast and all of that stuff. So he's big on the science fiction and he loves his Doctor Who. And it was funny, in his recap of this episode, he's like, I was so much more upset about the death of that science girl than, I can't remember her name,
Osgood,
than I should have been.
Yeah.
And it was really, it was. Like, you just go, oh, but you guys were all in the room with me when we were watching it.
Well, you,
then
Kate
when,
got
what's
her,
Brathcott Stewart, whatever her name is.
Kate
gets sucked out of the plane. I screamed. I screamed. And all these guys were in the room with me.
No.
And I was like, no!
But I think the death of Osgood was so well done because the scene building up to it was so good. And Michelle Gomez is so creepy and so great. When she does the countdown,
she's like,
down
I'm
to three.
Going to kill you. I'm going to kill you soon.
My favourite was when she leaps from six down to three. And Osgood, what, three? And she goes, oh, I'm just speeding up for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's so good and it's so potent. And that's why I had such a great effect. When Kate went out the door for me, I was kind of like, they're not going to kill them both off.
No, I completely disagree. I thought that was it, and we're moving on, and that's fine.
I thought it was more of a no hold bars kind of thing.
But you know what I find really funny? Like, if you've got this moment, like Dr. What's her name?
Osgood, isn't it?
Dr. Osgood, who we've only... This is the second time we meet her, and it's killed, and it has much more emotional effect, as opposed to... You know, like the angel, weeping angels, so that he just takes away all the scary nature about them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, come on. But this was brilliant. I love the idea of all the Cybermen. I actually love the concept of the dead returning to Earth and them all being controlled and being Cybermen. And it really plays
I didn't have a problem with it.
I liked
think
these
it was
things rising.
No.
I liked
what it played on. I liked the idea that it played on in relation to... Hang on, let me finish. Yeah. I like the idea that it played on in relation to with this Doctor. Instead of it being a great evil he has to defeat, Missy was literally having a dig at him.
Yeah,
this Doctor's about control.
I don't think she did. I mean, no. Conceptually she did, but there just wasn't that emotional oomph of this episode where
I
think it was there, but you had to work at it for yourself as an audience.
But personally, I'm okay with that emotion not being there. For me, the relationship between the Master and the Doctor, that was in the Tennant Sims Master and Doctor, but not on any of the others. Like, it's always been this manipulative...
But it's so ripe for... The reason why the Master...
It's always been this manipulative rivalry. And I love that in a season like this where we're getting darker, we're touching on tones and elements of the way past Doctor, I think it's great.
If we think about the reason why the Master is such an amazing character is, A, it's not really an alien. It's essentially psychopathy. It's a person who is a psychopath. And secondly, it's a person who reflects back on the Doctor about who the Doctor is. It's not an externality like the Dalek. No, but she handed him the bracelet and he goes, I'll just chuck it off.
That is how
I'll just give it to someone else. And then he gives us his rousing speech and I just felt completely let down.
But for me, I think it is that I do agree with you, Dean, in the sense of I think... But I think it's the... I preferred it for myself personally because... Well, maybe I'm reading more into it. Maybe I'm projecting in that respect. But I think it's making you as an audience member put a bit more work into yourself. It's not giving you
the
broad strokes. However, I think the challenge from that... You're exactly right. He could just hand it off and that's what he did do. But it was him being confronted with, this is who you are. You aren't that different from me. So stop saying you are. You own up to the fact that you're actually worse than me in some ways. You've gone around the world. You've let all these people die. All these people's brains or whatever in the Cybermen are the people you let die. You don't necessarily see that in the Doctor's position, but we've seen it all season. All these people dying during the season.
For those that can't see, which is everyone, has been raising his hand like he's in school.
I'm about to die. No. Yes. No. You talk about, like, you know, confronting a Master, and you've got, you know, this Doctor that's got all this order, and then she's just complete chaos.
Totally.
And that's what... And they just clash. I mean...
But it's supposed to come close to breaking.
Not always.
But what I'm saying is that those episodes where the Master has almost... In the same way that Bane broke Batman's back, you get that point where he almost breaks
him. Okay, but look,
and then you get that... And then he fights back.
But you know what?
Like, honestly, do you know the only thing... Sorry, Joel.
Getting that... he had that bracelet in his hand. That was his... Yeah, but that's the thing. He had it in his hand. That was the point where he said, I finally know who I am.
And it's also...
I've got all this power and...
And she doesn't see... You're right, he could hand it off to anyone, but she doesn't see that as being an option. Because remember, he's going, the one thing you've missed in all of this is there is another option. Because Danny is here as a Cyberman who isn't a Cyberman.
And
which
didn't
also,
have, no, think about it. Think about it.
Love special.
But no, that's exactly what I thought. Because think about what wasn't factored in. The people that didn't hit delete. and that we know that's that was Danny, and that's
also the Brigadier.
So, and now we're gonna talk about. Well, let's give the Brigadier a moment. That's a whole new conversation. Okay, yep. Let's give it. Let's focus on everything else, and then we'll get to our Brigadier conversation.
But it's the people that didn't put delete. She did break him. Because she said these are the coordinates, and he went there, and he was broken by that. But I felt like that should have happened before the bracelet part, where he faced that, stared into the void at that point.
Hang on, let's still deal with it. We're still in the cemetery. Okay, let's not jump ahead too far yet.
And then she's like, my plan's all broken. Damn it. And then she gets killed. I'm like,
okay, well, she's not killed, but I really wish. I'm a little disappointed that it had that.
Where was her rage when she lost? So when the master rages when he loses and refuses and is recalcitrant and childish, I watched it. She stood there with her hands on her hips while the cloud displayed.
When the master regenerates, he gets different stuff as well.
No, but he's still a psychopath. He's still
okay, well, okay. She is a crazy Mary Poppins lady.
This is the guy who's sort of best of the same. I've been with enough of them.
But okay.
Anyway, maybe the only person who thinks this. But
and now let's talk about the Brigadier.
I liked it. I thought it was really sweet.
It was a throwback. It wasn't something that was supposed to be too much. You know,
it has been a very big point of contention this week because a lot of people are unhappy with it.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people I don't think felt it was necessarily respectful to the memory of both Nicholas and what's his name? Cornet and the Brigadier.
Yeah.
I think the picture in the plane, I had no problem with. You know what? I thought that was nice.
Also, because we had such a fitting goodbye to him previously.
Yes.
Which we did get. Certainly got a touching, like we got it as fanboys that know this character and have grown up with him. We got our goodbye, we got our moment, and we got our tribute. Unfortunately, in this respect, it changed what that meant. Yeah. I liked it, but I don't think it was necessary.
Yeah.
I didn't love the end.
And what I would like now is for there to be an explanation that it wasn't the Brigadier. Because personally, I love it. I love that he saved Kate, his daughter. I love it on so many levels. But in my mind now, the Brigadier is flying around space in a Cyberman suit. And that...
saving lives.
That, as opposed to him... telling his daughter science and you know, like passing it had a wonderful, the end of his story and the way they wrote it into it had a wonderful tone to human nature and to that character and a real respect for the actor. And this, I'm not saying I didn't like it, I did, but now I literally feel like the Brigadier is like just flying around going
it did keep on making me in the comics that they did in the old magazine through the years or whatever. There was a period where they had a Cyberman who's sort of thrown off the shackles of cyber control, if you like, and he travels with the Doctor for a while.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, they're not going to go down that route, are they? Surely you're going to have Danny in the TARDIS.
I know how you said that, you know, it was a bit of
rotting away.
But they never really had any other point in saying that it was him. You know, he didn't salute back. He never actually said, the Doctor just assumed it might be him. Hey, she could have fallen out of the plane. Maybe she just landed.
No, she couldn't have, not from that high.
I'm just kidding. Come on.
The line was he wished that he had saluted him.
I know.
I think she could have fallen out because she may have been on her period and she could have been wearing panty pads with wings.
Oh my God.
Hey!
That's misogynist.
You're terrible.
I'm just saying they never fully said
it. I know, but I loved it in watching it, but I also I feel like it wasn't. We got the ending we needed. It was. I feel like this is like those six episodes with Amy and Rory. Just stop. Yeah,
I wondered whether they'd painted themselves into a corner because they didn't want to kill Kate off as well. And she had to be on the plane. And if the plane's going to blow up to get him to be skydiving into the TARDIS, whatever else...
But the Doctor could have just... You know what? I'm sorry. The Doctor could have just picked her up.
I know. We were saying that as he was flying with his own key...
He could have just...
The cushion wasn't high. Are you saying it? Way,
under one arm, key in the other hand. If I can get in the TARDIS.
Not even. Get in the TARDIS and then get the TARDIS to regenerate in her flight path. Yeah. Or whatever. He's done it before. He's done it exactly. Like, it's just...
3 seconds.
It's just... And that would have been great. And I feel like, yeah, I would like some other writer to jump on board.
I'd just say, like, leave one alone and let's just move away from it. Let's just forget about it.
Yeah. but in order to do that, we need to not see Kate.
I felt the worst part of that episode was Danny's speech.
Yes, agreed. It was stupid. I don't even know. It's the Braveheart. They can take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. Now let's all go kill ourselves moment.
That moment when he took his mask off, though, I was like, oh my.
But it was, I liked it when he zapped her. She was like, I'm lying. He's like, damn it. Zap. Knocks her out.
I did like that too. Look, okay, so let's touch on the end where both the Doctor and Clara lie to each other.
Yeah. Well, no, before you get to that, though, you've got the shimmery wimmery beast. And Danny,
sorry, Clara, love, but
that was just like,
no, I felt that was. I thought it was
in character, but I thought
the emotional investment wasn't there because there'd been no setup beforehand. So don't let it start to you. What the hell's going on there?
You know what I love? You're not in Iraq anymore. You're in London. Yeah, we're going to put you into the system.
This is the reason why he disappeared out of, or he left the army was because he'd killed that kid.
He gave him a sort of a redemption.
Yeah, but it fits in with his character pattern. You know?
See, I think Tony Abbott needs to consider this because now we've stopped the boats. I think we should stop immigrants through alternate dimensions that are coming through.
It's a very serious
what did
issue.
Anton say? The kid's just going to go through the system.
The kid's just going to end up in the system and his life.
How long has he been dead for? His parents probably have a new kid by now.
There's Anton for you.
It's like the chick from the bush that came out of the ring. All these kids are appearing.
But I think what was brilliant, like as much as I was a bit, what was brilliant is having two best friends, the Clara, and I felt like they were actually best friends as opposed to Amy and the Doctor constantly saying they were best friends. This, I felt like that was actually the case. And having them both lie to each other.
And especially him, they knew they were lying.
But especially him, because every time he's lied, it's been for the greater good, for big issues.
Yeah.
He's never had any problem with being very blunt to someone.
But it was very face-off.
And he actually showed how much he cared for her.
They both knew they were lying. They both, like, this was, it was a, it was wonderful. It was, I think, it was, you don't think they both knew?
No, I don't.
I think they did. And you know what? If they were, it shows that the Doctor knew that Danny didn't come back and he didn't want to be around the fact that he had made her delete.
I reckon the way they're playing is they both actually...
Believe the other person?
But because he comes in and overspeaks her and says, he's come back and everything. And she just goes, yeah, cool, it's fine, that's what happened.
I'm going to believe...
And then it has the whole thing of him going, well, yeah, I found a girlfriend, actually. Yeah, you know, I've actually got a new girlfriend. It's all great.
And
then he cut away to him, obviously, with that frustration. I think both of them were...
I think it's
sad. I thought it was great.
I just feel so, as you said back at the top, I think I was most frustrated that it looks like they're undercutting that really.
You know what I would have wished though, if they'd not just interjected the Gallifrey shots, but interjected the kid coming through the portal as well, so that it was a surprise to us as well.
Yeah,
might have been hard to communicate though.
Well, welcome to their job.
Have them in the cafe saying, you know, hey, look, Danny's,
you know,
there.
Like,
hey,
they were already
doing
it with the Doctor. They could have done it with her as well. And it would have just made that heartbreaking moment even more. But if it is the end of Clara, it's a fitting one. I like it. I'm hoping it's not. I hope,
for her sake it is.
I hope it is.
For her sake as much as
I don't.
I'd like,
you know, I do like Clara.
I think this season they did a brilliant job with her. I'm not saying I need her to be forever, but I need one more touchstone. And what it could be is as simple as, like, it doesn't need to be the Clara and Doctor. But we need one. I need one more. I need a goodbye. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like we got that, and that's a shame. But we are diving into Nick Frost as sexy Santa in a Christmas episode.
He does look very good, like it, doesn't he?
Is anyone else concerned how literal Moffat has made every Christmas episode?
He's always made it.
Look at Tavis's first one with Robot Santa.
He had Christmas campness and just played it on the time of year. But the story elements were literally not retelling of Christmas tales.
Mm. We'll see.
How do you disagree? How is the Titanic like Christmas?
Oh, that's English Christmas. That's disaster movies.
Oh my god!
It's Christmas pure. It was pure. It, no, it, that was what it was meant to
no,
be.
No, that's
it
what I mean. Pure, like, do you know what I mean? Moffat goes a little too literal. I mean, I actually am pumped that Nick Frost is going to be in an episode.
I'm pumped
that he is a sexy Santa.
No, I'm just checking something because I've
what?
I'm really looking forward to it, and we don't actually know what kind of Santa he's going to be, whether or not he's actually literally going to be
an alien robot.
I've been confusing myself.
I was going to go, Nick Frost's been in it before. He's done a Christmas episode. No, you were thinking of Bill Bailey,
who was in the last the Widow, the Witch of the Wardrobe, who was in that. Yeah, but I'm like, bring it on. Lots of fun. Though, if we never see Clara again, that's fine. But I'm okay with us not finding out who the new companion is as well.
Yeah.
Like, let's just let this story
go. Companionless Christmas.
You're the new companion. I'm going to have to turn it off because your voice is fucking annoying.
Is that what you're saying? You want a companionless Christmas episode?
Well, Moffat does companion. Like, look at the first one. Like, he has done companionless, except for the last one, obviously. But he's made it more about the Doctor. But he does companionless episodes, and it's great.
I think that's fine as well, particularly when we're dealing with the fact that he's, you know, the Doctor's dealing with the fact that Gallifrey's not there, and he needs to just go and do his thing, be away from Clara, being a little bit.
Great.
Yeah.
So, do you think next season he's going to go strong on Gallifrey? Look, I
personally would like the Gallifrey element to be dealt with by another producer.
Yes, I did say,
I can't remember whether it was on this podcast or someone else, or the other one I do, Watcher, and it's been a while since I've talked to I think it was you and I talking about it, but it's been a while since I've gotten my Guy-Fi on, so we're back with a big strength. But I wanted nothing more than after the 50th episode is for him to not look for Gallifrey. Him for not finding Gallifrey. And I want another producer to pick it up. I think it's really important. I think Moffat should keep, you know, edging us with this, but not jerk off fully.
But I mean, he hasn't really focused on it this season, to be fair. Yeah, it's only been the end. It shows that it's important to him, but he hasn't gone on the...
It would be really interesting to know how the Master escaped.
Totally. And I think we will find that out. I pray it's not the end of Missy. And I personally, but the thing is, I just wish at the very end of the credits, we'd had just a little snippet of Missy going, well, at least I made it out.
It's funny watching Michelle Gomez do her because she was in Green Wing as the deranged hospital administrator who spoke with that weird, kooky Scottish accent. And she is great. Scottish. She does that so well. It's joyful. And I was sitting there going, she's like some deranged Mary Poppins. She literally comes down with an umbrella.
Like, it's just fun. But it, you know what? Great. It wasn't contrived over the top. And I am fucking with you.
That the was kind of that she would mental do. Affectation that she would have.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, when I go back to saying I think this has been one of the most solid seasons, I feel like with our description, that it's also been the case and that we're all correct.
Yeah. Although we disagree on which ones are our favourite.
This is the only season I've ever had the opportunity to actually watch week to week to week to week, whereas the other ones I would download
because I fed you at my house when you come over for it. That's how.
Beautiful. Yeah. But having it fed that way is just they give you that little bit more.
They do,
don't they? Watch next week, and it was just a great self-contained season. If I never see any more, it's great.
You will. So wish list for next season. Any wishes? Just take it as it comes.
I'd like to see more Daleks, I think.
No, I'd like to see good... Let's be honest, though. Moffat hasn't hit the nail running with Daleks.
Maybe he'll quit and somebody else will take it.
I would... what would I like for the next season?
You know,
I would like a surprise about the new assistant. I would like us to not know until it happens in the episode.
Yeah.
An octogenarian. Someone with a walking frame.
Wilfred's back.
I would love the tone episode direction of the episodes to continue.
Yeah.
I like the way they've been structured with the very beginning always having a little jolt.
Let's talk about
the opening for a second.
So I'd like to see the Cybermen finally be done well. Yeah. Because I love Cybermen.
The opening, like, I like the visual of it. I hate the music.
I love it. It's very loud.
It is very loud.
It's not loud enough.
No, sorry.
It's really passive and it just needs a bit more.
It's screeching.
You know that entire opening was made by a fan.
Yeah. I love it because the other one is almost symphonic in the way that it's done, but the sounds are really jarring when you hear this new one. That it's sharp and ugly, that fits in with Peter Capaldi. He's sharp and ugly.
I just love all the clockwork kind of imagery that's coming.
It's great.
You don't like the fact that the TARDIS doesn't bang on the side of the wormhole, too.
No. I think that it's very controlled. It just comes at you. It's like, I'm a TARDIS. Oh, I'm gone now.
That's what a TARDIS does.
But so, the music is just the drums and the sound of it is just so
I need more.
Jolting.
I need more. Musically, I need like a bit more oomph or a bit more loudness. I don't know what it is, but previously with the and it was always a bit of a it's just a bit too passive for me.
It was like the last half of the season with Matt Smith when they made the different theme and they made the new theme. I like that one. That was a huge.
Well, the TARDIS set on the DW.
Not even that. Just the noise and the.
Every time the doors would open into a new episode. I always felt that was really clunky.
Yeah.
But hey, so what about you for next season? What would you like?
I'd like to see Daleks, but maybe not with Moffat writing.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other writers. And I like the episodes where they bring in other companions that have been in it in the past.
Oh, look.
I don't think... I mean, we can't get Amy back because she's in the middle of who knows fucking where with Rory.
I don't think we should ever get Amy back. Like, we're done with Karen
Gillan. And no River Song.
Plus, she's on an American show with an American accent. It's not quite working.
I don't mind River Song.
I don't mind River Song, but I don't want it back.
No. Yeah. Moffat, he always just goes Captain Jack. Episode too far. I would love Captain... Oh, my God. Captain Jack and Peter Capaldi. I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'd like to see to see them do a proper Base Under Siege story. We haven't had one for a long time.
A proper what?
Base Under Siege is like a trope. So all of Patrick Troughton's used to be based in the siege. So you got people, the Impossible Planet and that two part when they're trapped on the moon with the Ood and whatever else. That's a base in the siege. You've got nowhere to run to. It's all coming in and around
the TARDIS isn't working, something like
one
that
of those sort of ones.
Okay.
We haven't had one of those for a long time. It's all been run around.
Okay.
But also next season potentially, I mean, Missy was in it a few times at the end of the episodes, but it would have been nice if they'd brought in more and more.
You know what? I would love really a Peter Time like storyline. Like the two things that I loved about the Doctor was one, the Key to Time was a season that I absolutely loved, where the Doctor had a purpose and had to fulfill it.
And Mary Tam was fabulous.
Exactly, yeah. She was a great Romana. Yeah. And two was I had a point, and it's gone. I want the TARDIS on random again. I want it on iPod Shuffle.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, let's stop being so deliberate about where we go, and let's get let's literally have it be the Doctor and a companion thrown together by chance.
Yeah,
and having to go, well, fuck, now I'm stuck with you, and the TARDIS is broken, and we'll get you home, but it's gonna be a bit shit.
Hoping that the next leap will be the leap home.
Not for like ages, but for just one season. No, what picture are you showing everyone?
Mary Tam, looking fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Joel wouldn't know who she was.
Great Romana. And I would love it to be a bit more random. I would love it to be a bit less intentional. I'm sick of the companions going home and making an omelette and then the Doctor coming back to them. It's time to throw off the shackles of Earth.
You want to go back to a companion living on the TARDIS with them?
Waterfall's made of diamonds.
Well, let's have a scenario where Missy breaks the TARDIS in some way.
Yeah,
that'd let's have great. Them trapped. Even that if it's for great. Like,
I want Neil Gaiman to do another episode.
I loved I Nightmare love in too. Silver.
I don't think
so
he
much.
Will until Moffat's left. Amazing. To be honest,
you've heard the story about that because he was apparently shitty over the Doctor's wife being edited quite heavily to make it work. So they went, "Well, just write your own." Then he did the Cyberman one, and it doesn't quite work out. So it's been one of the most loved episodes. I quite liked it.
The Cyberman chess episode.
Yeah,
but wasn't that another scenario where Moffat wrote it?
No. Apparently, they just said Gaiman just write. This is what I've heard. Maybe it's all.
The Doctor's Wife was really good, but
it was. But it was.
But apparently, they had to change quite a bit.
But hey, so it's a big thumbs up for us in relation to this episode. I think it's time for us all to get to you.
Yep.
Except for Peter, that's going to go and play board games.
I've got games
now. We've got board games to play. It's all very exciting. I know it's fine. It's fine. We're going literally. It's fine. It's that circuit. We're going down the road. Everything's okay. So we are going to go off and have a drink. If you guys have enjoyed Doctor Who or like this, let us know. Well, we want to know what your thoughts were.
If you want to join us,
they won't get any time. So say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you.
See you next time. Bye.
You didn't like it. Why didn't you like it?
Stephen Moffat can't write endings.
And that's a go-to excuse. That's always a go-to excuse. I want you to tell me why you did not like it. Why did you not like
everything? Everything has to end tragically. I'm sort of over this point where companions are damaged by the Doctor. I'd actually
but
like...
That's not what happened.
Which is like...
Danny died. It's like...
Yay, because Danny was shit.
I'm not saying he wasn't shit, but at least give somebody a happy ending and get rid
but
of him.
But how do you think it was really powerful having them lie to each other?
Well, she was a better talent, the truth. This is not here nor there, but I didn't like him. Sort of like the entire concept of raising the dead was a bit of a weird concept. And I'm sorry, but the brig thing was a little bit.
The brigadier thing
was a little bit creepy.
Literally, we had a talk about it, yeah. And I'm like, I didn't feel like it was a. Yeah. I didn't feel like it was a negative thing in relation to his. The brigadier, but as I was talking about it, I realised I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It left me uneasy, but it was nice to have his daughter not be dead. Yes.
Wow. Didn't mind.
So you didn't like it? You weren't happy?
I didn't hate it, but it just wasn't my favourite.
How did you feel about Missy?
I think the master was a little bit of a...
Missy, you can't call... You have to say Missy.
Okay. Okay. It would have been nicer if Missy was somebody other than a reincarnation of, or regeneration of the master, but...
I was worried she was going to be the Rani, and I'm glad she wasn't.
The Rani was nobody, really. She was late 80s when no one was watching it.
Yeah.
In hindsight, I'm glad that they didn't bring back, say, an evil version of Susan Romana, simply because it would have ruined the character.
Totally.
But saying that, Michelle Gomez was the best thing about the
episode. Wasn't she brilliant?
She was fantastic.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do hope she comes back.
But overall, did you like Capaldi?
I like Capaldi a lot, actually. I just don't think he's got chemistry with Jenna Coleman, but I think he's good.
We should have gotten him in the episode. He's good. All right.
Yes.
I'll come back to you when we're a bit drunker and we'll talk more.
Don't even get me started on Jenna Coleman.
I will.
But thing is, she was fantastic last season. Loved her to death this season. Something just hasn't clicked.
Are you kidding me? I think the complete... You scratched my arm.
I think it's more the case of... The individual little bits are not bad, but the sum of the whole just doesn't quite add up for me. Just to be a bit cliche.
I hated her with Matt Smith. I always thought she was very incomplete with Matt Smith, whereas this season, it's like watching two doctors. It's not watching a doctor and a companion, it's watching two doctors.
But we had that with Donna.
You had two buddies. You had a buddy kind of...
And we had that with Donna.
Yeah, no, I'm saying you had a buddy system with Donna. In this one, you had someone who was more of a protege of her. It was an apprentice. It wasn't even a companion. She was slowly morphing into him, you know?
I'm not going to say it was all bad. The Mummy on the Orient Express was a brilliant episode. The second one after that was pretty good as well. And it showed a good...
We did say that. Yeah. We did say Flatline and Mummy were amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you feel like was the weakest episode? The Forest one or the Sherwood one?
In a bizarre way, I kind of like the Forest one. It was stupid, but I couldn't turn my mind off and it wasn't terrible. So, forgetting about the entire aborting the moon thing.
That wasn't bad, though. The abortion episode. Yes. But that wasn't a bad episode.
No.
It didn't have been added in that moral statement. That was really like wasn't bad.
The 11 o'clock number, it turned out to be, let's have an abortion for the moon. Up to that 11 o'clock number, it wasn't a bad episode.
Yeah.
The robots of Sherwood.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Peter's wrong. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back when we're drunk and we'll talk about this more.
Okay.